I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Have you ever thought about the role that curiosity and the quest for knowledge play in life? Imagine with me men looking at the birds and wondering, is it possible for us as humans to fly? Or the curiosity that led a Hungarian by the name of Ignaz Semmelweis in 1847 to this conclusion, that the washing of hands between medical procedures would significantly reduce infection and death. Or what about a Bedouin shepherd boy's curiosity in 1947 that led to a discovery of a cache of documents that startled the academic and the religious worlds? Hello, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in today as we turn our attention, once again, to a portion of God's Word. Right now, together, let's reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He walks by. You know He's not too busy to hear your cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He walks by. You know He's not too busy to hear your cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Thank you, men, for reminding us that the God we serve is approachable. And not only is He approachable, but He's available. Any time of the day or night, you and I can come to Him. And what a blessing and privilege to share that message with people all over the world. Each week, our Bible teaching programs go out across the globe in English and 22 other languages. And we use a variety of forms of media to share the good news, and many respond in faith to that invitation to reach out and touch Jesus. Praise God. Here's a response from a listener in the country of Nepal who hears our broadcasts in her native language. She reached out to touch Jesus, and He changed her life. Listen to her testimony. Thank you so much. My life has been transformed, and I believe I have become a loving woman for His glory. There were many obstacles in my life, but I kept moving forward with faith. I listen to your programs on a regular basis. My ear wants to listen to the program with hope and victory, even though I am 65 years old and have faced many difficulties in my life. I don't miss any of the programs. I enjoy listening because it helps me in my spiritual journey. I have been listening to the Heralds of Hope program for 4 years, and I'm still not tired of it. Thank you so much. Isn't that wonderful? If you're listening today and you partner with us through your prayers and financial support, this letter of thanks really belongs to you. Because without your partnership, we wouldn't be able to reach listeners like this woman in the country of Nepal. So thank you for partnering with us. We are working together, winning the world. And if you're not currently a partner with us, we invite you to become one today. You can visit our website to learn more about how you can partner with us in sharing the gospel around the world. Our web address is simply heraldsofhope.org. Now, stay tuned for today's teaching, Jars of Clay, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 to 12. In 1947, a Bedouin boy was herding his goats in the Judean wilderness along the northwest shore of the Dead Sea. It happened that one of his goats strayed from the flock, so naturally, he went after it. And as he was searching for the goat, he absent-mindedly tossed a stone into one of the caves that dotted the sea cliffs there in the area. When the stone disappeared into the dark mouth of the cave, it was immediately followed by the sound of breaking pottery. Boys are curious. Ask me how I know that. So he had to find out what made that unusual sound. The rock had hit a ceramic pot containing scrolls made of both papyrus and leather. I'm sure that boy had no idea of the impact his accidental discovery would have on the world. While we don't know the exact details of his discovery, we know these ancient documents today as the Qumran, or Dead Sea, Scrolls. When they were discovered, they were already nearly 20 centuries old. And eventually, they led archaeologists to other caves in the Qumran area. Those caves contained tens of thousands of manuscript fragments. The Dead Sea Scrolls give us confidence in the reliability of the Old Testament manuscripts because the differences between the previous manuscripts and those that were found at Qumran were so small. To me, it's a blessing to see how God preserved His Word down through the centuries, protecting it from extinction and guarding it against error. I thought about the Dead Sea Scrolls because of the text before us today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." What is Paul talking about? What is the treasure, and who or what are the earthen vessels? Well, I hope you can stay with me as we explore the answers to those questions and more in our continuing study from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Today's study is titled, Jars of Clay. So listen as I read the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 to 12. Here is the Word of God. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." Paul's teaching informs us of the ways God reveals Jesus to the world through jars of clay. The first way God reveals Jesus to the world through jars of clay is treasure in unlikely containers. As I said earlier, I'm sure that Bedouin shepherd boy had no idea of the incredible value of the contents of that random old broken clay pot. Most scholars credit the ancient Essenes with the preservation of these precious documents. Now you would think that something of such value would be stored in a more durable container, like bronze or stone. But evidently the Essenes knew the climate of the region, and they concluded that putting these valuable documents in these clay pots would be the best way to preserve them for a long, long time. And of course, history has proved that they were right. Now, as we reflect on these verses, let's remember we're in a section of the letter where Paul is defending his ministry in response to his critics. The sufferings he experienced and his own personal weaknesses didn't show the failure of his ministry, but rather they proved the validity of his ministry. Paul wrote that we have this treasure in earthen vessels or in clay pots. What treasure is Paul talking about? Well, if you go back to the preceding verse, he talks about the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn more about this phrase in verse 6, then I urge you to go back and listen to my teaching just before this session. That light of the knowledge of God is the gospel. It's the good news. And that's the treasure that you and I as Christ followers carry in our frail bodies, in our clay pots, as it were. So let's think about clay pots for a moment. Clay pots in Paul's day were kind of like plastic containers are for us today. They were cheap, and they were available in all sizes. Clay pots were used for all kinds of things, some honorable and some not so honorable. But when a clay pot was damaged, it wasn't repaired. You just threw it away. And as a result, broken pottery is something that's found in great abundance in most archaeological excavations. Have you ever wondered why God, in His absolute sovereignty, chose to rely on flawed human beings like you and me to communicate His message to the world? We're fearful, we're selfish, we're inconsistent in our devotion to Him. And yet He loves us, and He graciously uses us as part of His plan to bring His light to the world. Why is that? Well, the end of verse 7 tells us. It says, "So that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of us." If you and I were good, if we were full of courage, if we were unselfish, etc., etc., then we wouldn't need God. People would celebrate our goodness and they would honor us. So the very fact of our brokenness highlights the power of God. We know, and so do those around us, that we don't have the power to transform our own lives, much less the lives of anyone else. God chooses to use me and you in spite of all our faults and failures, so that any good that comes from our lives is attributed to Him, not to us. You know, I don't believe Paul was disparaging the human body by his analogy with clay pots. He was only contrasting the relative insignificance of the container bearing the light with the surpassing beauty and value of the light. What a privilege that God would place His glorious message in us, such unlikely containers. Then the next way God reveals Jesus to the world through jars of clay is trouble for despised containers. In the foreword of his book, Inside Out, Larry Crabb wrote this, and I'm quoting, "Modern Christianity, in a dramatic reversal of its biblical form, promises to relieve the pain of living in a fallen world. The message, whether it's from fundamentalists requiring us to live by a favored set of rules, or from charismatics urging deeper surrender to the Spirit's power, is too often the same. The promise of bliss is for now. Complete satisfaction can be ours this side of heaven." That's the end of the quote. But I want you to think with me about what Paul wrote. In verses 8 and 9, he uses a series of present passive participles to paint a vivid picture of his experiences in ministry. And the grammar here reveals that these include things that happened to him in the past, things that are happening at the moment, and things he anticipates will happen in the future. And it isn't a comforting list, but it does agree with his words to young Timothy, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And there, Paul is only echoing the words of Jesus, who told his disciples, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's John 16:33. Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing, "We are hard pressed on every side, like grapes in the winepress, but we are not crushed. We are bewildered and see no way out, but we're not driven to the point of despair. We are pursued by our enemies, but not forsaken or left in their power. We are struck down by our pursuers, yet we are not killed." And furthermore, Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, until now. Does that sound like your best life now? As I was meditating on Paul's words, my mind went back to one of the early Anabaptists. His name was Dirk Willems, and his experiences illustrate so well what Paul wrote. The year was 1569, and Dirk was a faithful follower of Jesus in the country of Holland. Like many of his Anabaptist peers, he was wanted by the state church for what they called his heretical views. So when the authorities came to arrest him, he fled, and he was hotly pursued. In the course of his escape, he crossed a lightly frozen body of water at considerable peril to himself, and the man who was chasing him attempted to cross the same ice, but he was not so fortunate, and partway across he broke through. Now Dirk was faced with a dilemma. What should he do? When he realized that his unconverted pursuer was in danger of losing his life and entering a Christless eternity, Dirk turned around and helped his pursuer to safety. The rescued man pled with the authorities to release Dirk, but they refused to do that. And so, after severe imprisonment and great trials, Dirk suffered a slow death at a lingering fire that had been kindled by the state church authorities. Now, you might disagree with me using Dirk Willems as an example because he did lose his life. But I remind you of the words of Jesus in Matthew 16:25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Dirk Willems lost his physical life, but he gained eternal life, which he can never lose. As despised jars of clay bearing the light of the gospel, the scriptures, and the experiences of the saints of all ages assure you and me that in this world we will have trouble and sorrow. But you know, one day, these despised containers will be recreated in the likeness of our Savior, and our sorrow will give way to the ultimate joy. There's yet a final way God reveals Jesus to the world through jars of clay. It is transition for expendable containers. In this text, Paul makes it clear that our bodies are constantly exposed to the same putting to death which Jesus suffered. Paul's suffering was the result of attacks against Jesus. Those who hate Jesus take out their vengeance on those who represent him. That's what Paul means by always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. If I understand Paul correctly in verse 11, he wore his sufferings as a badge of loyalty to Christ. He realized that these sufferings were a channel for the light of the power of Christ to be revealed. That's why he wrote, "For we who live are constantly being handed over to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested or revealed in our mortal flesh." It's interesting, being handed over to death is the same language that's used in Matthew 27 and verse 2, where the religious leaders handed Jesus over to Pilate. But this parallel with Christ's death is then offset by the parallel with Christ's triumph, life through the resurrection. The more we die to self, the more clearly Jesus is seen. We echo the words of John the Baptist, "He must increase, I must decrease." Now, few of us have suffered like the Apostle Paul, but all of us go through hard things in life. Let's not forget this important fact. Our earthly containers, our bodies, our clay pots, are expendable. They will wear out, and they will ultimately return to the dust from which they were taken. So the goal of our lives must be that Jesus is revealed through our unlikely, despised, and expendable containers. As I close, think about your own experiences and be encouraged by this story. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Each one of them hung on the end of a pole which he carried across his neck. One pot had a crack in it. The other pot was perfect. The perfect pot was always full at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house, but the cracked pot arrived only half full. For 2 years, this went on every day, with the water bearer delivering only 1.5 pots full of water to his master's house. Now, as you might imagine, the perfect pot was proud of his accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor, cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection, and it was miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be bitter failure, the cracked pot spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. It said, "I am ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able, for these past 2 years, to deliver only half my load because this crack in my side allows water to leak out all the way back to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all this work, and you don't get the full value from your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As you and I return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." So that day, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path, and that cheered it some. But at the master's house, it still felt bad because it had leaked out half its contents, so it apologized again for its failure. Then the water bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path and none on the other side? You see, I have always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house." You know, each of us has our own unique flaws. We're all damaged jars of clay. But if we allow the Master to do his work, he will use our flaws to grace his Father's table and to show his beauty and his glory to the world around us.
At times my feet have wandered far away from boundaries that have always kept me safe. Wherever I may go, Lord, it's good to know the love you have for me will never fade. You love me still, and that is so amazing. You love me today and more tomorrow. You always have, you always will. You love me still. Sometimes it's hard for me to comprehend the beauty of the grace I'm living in. No matter what I do, whatever I go through, the love you have for me will never end. You love me still, and that is so amazing. mercy today and more tomorrow. You always have, you always will, you always have, you always will.
You love me still.
Thank you, ladies. It's wonderful to know that despite all our flaws, all our failures, God still loves us more than we can imagine. And that knowledge motivates me to love Him more. If you join me in that desire to know Him more intimately, then I'd like to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or send your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can use this same contact information to request a digital or print copy of today's teaching, Jars of Clay. To review today's teaching or to listen to archived programs, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen whenever it's convenient for you. And if you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and then follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially, too, by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, enables the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. And until we meet again, ponder your future as the men sing.
Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I will thank him for the love that he gave me, and 10,000 years or more I'll reign with him.
10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun.
The battle's over
and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. We will just begin to sing love's sweet story. It's a song.